You are listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 47.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Ahoy hoy, and welcome to V for Vertigo, and one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark. I'm glad I'm not Aaron Rodgers right now, Johnson. And this week's review will be about Lucifer Morningstar by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. And yes, in case you're wondering, I just did watch the football game. And man, what a football game it was. After the stinkers of this weekend, and I thought actually today's Arizona Packer game would also be a stinker after the first quarter. It's good to see that they actually competed and it went into overtime. And was ironically won by a little bit of defense. But you know what's weird? Living in California and on the West Coast, you don't really root for the other guy. You know? Yeah. He's just like, yeah, I'm a Niner fan. I'm disappointed they didn't win a division. But, I'm kind of rooting for the Cardinals. So, you don't get that in other parts of the country. They hate people. Although, don't actually want to see the Cowboys win. There's that. And the Eagles. Well, they got knocked out. And that's just because they hate McNabb. Cost me money. Puking on the sideline, for God's sakes. By the way, I don't know how this episode's going to sound. Because I got a new microphone. And, I'm sorry if you'll hear me cough sporadically throughout the show. Like, probably might have heard that, even though I try to move away from the mic. This thing is very sensitive. It's also very expensive. Anything more than $5 to me is actually expensive. But I think I dropped two bills on all this microphone equipment. And I'm not entirely sure if I'm doing it right or if I'm keeping my voice the proper way. But hopefully it sounds a bit better, and I sound like I think I normally sound. But it's hard to tell. What's weird is that hopefully will edit it out correctly, and you won't be able to hear it. But while testing it, man, I can hear my turtle filter. It's like very faint. You just hear the water running. I don't know if you heard that or not. But very weird. I should probably clean the filters. You might hear it more. But, yeah. I don't know. I really want to talk about it. I kind of want to get on with the show. Because I am hungry. And I still got a vacuum. And clip my toenails. Yeah, I live a very exciting life. I was tired yesterday. Oh, by the way. Any of you guys go to Applebee's? They make the best mudslides ever. There's like no alcohol in it. Or maybe there was. I don't know. It is only Kahlua. Man, it's like a huge dessert. I basically had dessert and then ate dinner, which is good. Yeah, it was excellent. Ooh, it was excellent. This big bowl of ice cream, whipped cream, chocolate syrup, and was there a cherry on top? There might have been. Yeah, that was excellent. I gotta go back just for that again. Yeah. So, there's no news for the week. I like to blame the holiday weekend. You know what sucks about this mic is I can't actually just turn it off for a quick second and then you can't hear me cough. Or maybe I can, I'm just not sure to work it. But it doesn't look that way. Well, if I hit a button, then I'm sure you'll hear me jostle the mic. You know, this is all really boring stuff to you, but yeah, let me know if you like the new sound. So, as there's no news today, I suppose we get to the meat of the show right about now.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, like I said in the beginning, this week's review will be about Lucifer Morningstar. Or, I might have said that wrong. Lucifer Cole and Morningstar. Because I guess his last name is Morningstar. It's all a bit confusing. By Mike Carey and Peter Gross. Now the summary of this great trade, and it is great, by the way, and bending over on my back on this mic is kind of starting to ache. Now Masaki, as the last trade, she was being hunted by the Jinin Mok, Mr. White Tiger, Mr. Shapeshifter, Mr. Whatever, and Mr. Eyepiece thing. What are those called? I forgot. But she deals with him by cutting off his head. And he's still alive, though. Somewhat. Now, Lucifer and Elaine must deal with Gnome, Jill's child, and the child of the Bassanos. She hates Lucifer and wants to kill him. Not quite entirely sure why. I think it's... Yeah, I'm not sure why. Because, remember that trade... The Bassanos kind of killed themselves, because Lucifer didn't have his powers back. But he did fool them. She might be pissed about that. And it's not like Lucifer killed her brother, her twin brother. That was Jill, who didn't want him and kind of left him there. Well, she tries to kill him, but Elaine intervenes. And then Gnome takes them all to hell to see Christopher Red. Now, meanwhile, Lilith storms the Silver City's gates. And the angels aren't doing too well, because they're outnumbered. And Lilith's angels that she had with Sandalphon, well, whatever his name is, take away any aerial advantage they might have had against the Lilim. Now Lucifer tries to get Red to help with his army. But ironically enough, he was going to storm the Silver City because of what Yahweh did. Now, Lucifer, Masakine, and Elaine, they go to the Silver City without Red and his army. Lucifer scares the Lilim just by showing up into submission. But Fenris is there, the wolf. The guy who tried to bring the god of destruction. And he wounds you, Lucifer. Upon seeing that, the Lilim renew their attack. And they all, the major players of the game, they all try to stop Fenris. That doesn't sound right. I wish I had some Nordic friends, but I don't. From destroying the throne. And they want Elaine to claim it. She claims it, but Fenris is able to destroy it shortly thereafter. And seemingly her. However, Elaine wakes up in her old house and meets God. Boom, boom, boom. He's brought her there to decide whether or not to repair and save creation or destroy it. But not only destroy it, as you might think, but to make it so it never existed. And he brings in Lilith so she takes the side of the prosecutor and she fights for destroying creation. While that's going on, Masakine, Lucifer, and even Duma, the silent angel, are fighting Fenris. Gnome interferes by taking Masakine and Duma out of the equation, but she doesn't kill him. However, she does stab the old Lightbringer in the back, literally. But while Fenris is beating up the Morningstar, he brings him in his guard. And then Lucifer kills him. Because he's been preserving all his power all this time. And instead of killing Gnome, he has her send a message to Yahweh. The Lightbringer's message convinces God that there's another way. Because Elaine couldn't convince him. And he gives creation to Elaine. Lilith dies, by the way. That's not important, though. She, Elaine, Masakine, the Morningstar, and Duma put Yahweh's and Lucifer's creation into Elaine's in some weird metaphysical gate opening, tearing a hole in the world, flying across the universes and the universe kind of way. And in doing so, since it's her creation, she becomes God. Yeah. Well, just think about that now. It's weird when you say stuff out loud. Now, she takes care of Noma by putting her into Jill's womb again, without her powers or memory. And she even does a nice little favor and changes Jill's memory of how she became pregnant. And that's the end of the trade. Almost bow down to Elaine Belloc. No, she's not really like that. Although, if I was God, I might. Just for shits and giggles. Happy worship me. You know this? The Morningstar trade? Is actually the climax of the series. Or the crux, if you will, unlike the last trade. I mean, the last trade, yeah, it was pretty good, too. But this one really is like, oh, shit, is everything gonna end? Speaking of which, after I did that episode a couple weeks ago, I heard the word, crux, like 3 or 5 times that week. Seem to hear it every day, every other day. Go figure. But whatever the case may be, the shit really hits the fan here. Now, some would think that Lucifer is a selfish son of a bitch. I suppose he is, in a way. But I think it's because he doesn't like showing that he cares for someone. Or for someone else, or that he knows she can handle his own. And this is primarily talking about Mazagine. Because she does get into some things. And I don't think she has any powers. Yeah, she's just badass, you know? One of those chicks that just fight and kill you. Well, what's interesting about him is that throughout the trade, Noma kind of taunts Lucifer. And she's right. Because Lucifer is watching from the sidelines. What trade is this? This is the 10th trade. And 1 through 9 is shit has happened because of or around him for the most part. And previously in his history, he was the one trying to take down Yahweh and all that. And, or destroy creation or whatever the case may be. But it's not the fact that he's not fighting or causing the end that's bothering him. It's that, you know, he didn't see it coming. And that has absolutely nothing to do with him. However the case may be, it all comes back to Christopher Rudd. It's good to see, since I'm not entirely sure how mortal Mazagine is, it's good to see a mortal play such a huge part. Now, up until now, various people have been used as vessels, or have been part angel, part demon, bestowed with magical powers or something else, whatever. And he's just a damn soul who was rightly sent to hell and who suffers for it. Still, whenever I read about him and Liz, I would like to see them get together. But just because I'm a sucker for love. I don't know what I'm going to name this episode. Oh. Now, there are a couple of side stories here and there. And while they kind of slowed down the action, they didn't stop it and were kind of necessary. Having Gotham in a story is always a plus. And let's face it, there was no way in hell or heaven that he was going to fight to save the Silver City. And that was a cute little story with him and his sister. Some guy in a wishbone, or wish mummy in this case. I didn't even mind the first issue Solomon story. Which, to be honest, I still don't get it. I mean, all he really did, I mean, at the end of the trade, he judged Rudd to be innocent. And quote-unquote set him free, but I guess he's no longer damned. But is he in heaven? If you've noticed, we have spent, if you've followed me this long, there have been 10 trades. 50-something issues? I don't know. 60 issues? I'm just guessing. And there has not been one mention of heaven, or one, not mention of, there has been a mention of heaven, but there hasn't been, heaven hasn't been shown. So, who knows what, I forget what happens to him. But that Solomon issue was weird because it kind of just served to wrap up the gay storyline. Where the German dude, fucked up paralyze the other dude. They're very 80s. Yeah. I still didn't care for that storyline. Now, there are a couple of highlights in the book, in this excellent book. And the first one involves my man, or my angel, Lucifer. Even though Noma tries to kill him while he's battling Fenris, it's amazing to see him push on, as it always is. Well, with his father's departure, his light is dimming, as it's been pointed out, and he's not that much of a light bringer. But it's always his will or his mind that gets him through things. And even Noma, when she's watching him fight, she's wondering, well, how does one calculate will into an equation? I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question, right? Now, the second highlight of the book is where Elaine meets Yahweh, and there's this discussion with what's going to happen to creation. It's great to see both Elaine and Lilith debate for that entire issue. And I love it when shows, books, and comics do it at just the right time. It doesn't seem like, you know, it's just a boring Talking Heads issue. I mean, it is, but it's like a cool Talking Heads issue because you had all these previous issues to build up for it, and you finally get to see God, who, while can change, take any shape, looks a lot like Mr. Monopoly, but slightly fatter. I don't even remember if he had the eyepiece. Did he have the eyepiece? If he did, it's like, what these dudes in the eyepieces? The best thing I learned from that section is what God is. And I know what you're saying. Well, Mark, how do you not know what God is? Well, you don't even know what God is. No one knows. We're human. We're fragile. We're dumb. And we're stuck on one mud ball of a planet. But most people believe God is omniscient, omniscience. Fuck, these words are killing me here. But no one knows what that means. There are loopholes in people's arguments, and I won't get into them because it's no fun to debate religion without someone who gets mad. It's no fun to debate anything without someone who gets mad. But the point they bring up here is that to be truly, I believe the quote is to be truly omniscient. Is omniscient? How do you, omniscient? What is omniscient? How am I? I'm totally pronouncing it wrong. But it says you must be objective. I think every week I pronounce a couple of words wrong. Even God says it. He talks about it, but I forgot who said it. They said, some philosopher said that God isn't like omnipotent because he limits himself by doing this. It's like one of three things he does, and then that kind of throws what people think when they think of omnipotent and all that crap. I mean, God says it here, though. He introduces a bit of randomness into the equation, so he's surprised. I don't know how he gets his formula or how he does his little magic and shit. But he's surprised when he sees Lilith and Elaine defend. Because he thought he would have met Lucifer and Fenris. Which to be fair, that'd be kind of weird because at one time Lucifer wanted to destroy Yahweh's creation. Now the third highlight of the book, the third major highlight of the book, I should say, is when Lucifer got stabbed with a spear. This ain't really a major one. It's like a minor, but I found it humorous enough to write down. So when he got stabbed with a spear by Fenris, and then Elaine whisked him away to his creation, and his little magical centaur beings were talking about healing him, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, and him resting. And then, you know, he's lost a lot of blood. He might be close. He might need to rest for a few days. And then he gets up and says, I presume that's intended to be intended as a joke of some time. And then he's like, has Elaine take him back to the fight. And they're like, huh? Well, he just had a hole. I don't, I don't know if he used some of his power there, or the fact that he was in his creation. He suddenly got out of that creation, so he gets more power there. Or that centaur did heal him. I think it doesn't really matter, but I was curious to know. Now, I rarely talk about the art from Series of Trade because it's one artist, really no reason to switch. But as much as I love the art here, it was a bit strange to see blind, quote-unquote blind Elaine, switch back to child Elaine when she was talking to God, whom I'm assuming is God's doing, and which, I don't know if that was to show her true age, or if it was just a metaphor to what Elaine means to God, and that she made herself older, and it wasn't just a passage of time like I hypothesized a couple episodes ago. It was that she made herself look older. I'm not entirely sure. But it was even weirder to see her go from little kid Elaine to no longer blind, slightly older Elaine. And she's not hot like in your big two, look at it, she's got boobs and stuff. Nakedness. She's like a hot in a mature woman type of way. The girl I would date. I need to go on a date. I need to find me a girl. A woman. I say that every show. One of these days it'll come true. Yeah, it'll never come true. Yeah, that was good. That was good artwork. Now, despite the fact that they've only had one previous trade for characterization, I mean, there's been foreshadowing about it way in the beginning. It was like, forgot the dude's name. The guy who made the cards, I think. He was like, Lucifer doesn't know the real baddies behind everything. But the bad guys here, they're fucking awesome. It's not that you hate Fenris, Lilith, and Noma, but man, you don't want to see them succeed. But they're pretty good bad guys, right? Even though Fenris is kind of lame, because they're all kind of lame. Well, no, not Noma. Noma's kind of cute and a weird child. Man, scary childs with magical powers are always fucking scary. I don't know, creepy. They're all creepy. Even if they're on your side, like, what's her name? Layla Miller. Then you got, like, the Omen kid is freaky. Yeah, why are they freaky? I forgot. Well, I totally went on a tangent. Forgot my point. Anyways, yeah, you don't want them to succeed. Even though Fenris is just more of a force and predictable. Even Lucifer pointed out when he killed him. And Lilith is kind of sad. I mean, in this some point, she hates God for what's happened. But she does show moments of regret of what she did to her fat blind slug, whose name I'm totally blanking on. And that she even misses Mazikeen. Yeah. That's a bit sad. She didn't get a second chance. But, oh well, you still wanted her to succeed. Now, creation has been saved in this book. And those who have tried to destroy it have been killed. And even the one who created it has moved on. Yeah, you even saw God in here. There's really nothing more to be done. There's one more trade left. But if I remember correctly, the last trade, Evan song. I'm not sure how you pronounce that either. I'll probably mention it next episode. And that last trade is an epilogue of sorts. I don't remember, but I hope it deals with the merging of the three worlds. I think it does. Not entirely sure if I remember liking it though. Because reading the it's like the end of Watchmen was a bit too long. Not the movie. The movie sucked. The end of the trade. So, you get damn good value in this Lucifer Morningstar trade. For the cover price of $14.99, you get 192 pages of awesomeness. That being said, I got a bit of bone to pick with Vertigo, or whatever publishing company they use. I'm starting to see a bit of a theme here with their trades. I got this trade a couple years ago whenever it hit, and it's fine. But now the trade has, or the spine covers, the spine has come off. And it's like, really? Again? I know the filth came off, and I want to say another. I know one Conan book just completely fell apart on me. That's Dark Horse. But I want to say another Vertigo trades started to fall apart, and it's like, my God, come on, people. What I'm noticing here is that these trades are rather thick. The ones where everything falls apart, but it's like, why? Well, I don't get it. Why is everything falling apart? Now, people bitch about Marvel's trades and their pricing, and I mean, they're totally fucking whacked out. No one knows what their thinking is, and they are overpriced. But I've never had a problem with Marvel's trades. I mean, you get what you pay for. Looking at my shelf, there are a couple of thick ones, the Annihilations, the Age of Apocalypse. They haven't fallen apart. They're pretty thick. I mean, I don't give a shit. And I personally do hate the glossy cover that Marvel uses. But man, I would pay a couple extra bucks to have a trade not fall apart on me. At least with some stories are thin. Like, why? Then I just feel like it ripped off. I don't know. It's very disconcerting. It's like, Vertigo, if you're listening, go get a new printer. Like, the glue, or get a new gluer. I don't know. It's really sad. Does DC's, I think DC either does theirs a different way, too. Or maybe they use a different company, but yeah, well, I don't really buy much DC's comics, but I don't think I've had a problem. But it's very annoying and pisses me off. My mark critic for this episode is a 5. This is a fabulous trade, and it's a hell of a way to go out. Kind of just end it here and be done. You kind of need the epilogue of the last trade. Suppose I'll talk about it in the series overall only 2 weeks from now. Maybe if I do it. I don't know. I think my birthday is that week. I might not do an episode. So I want to relax. All right, well, that's all I got for today. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed the smooth sounds of Marty Johnson. I really have no idea how this is going to sound through this mic. I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes, as always, or wherever. And next week's pick will be another religious pick. What was I thinking? Testament West of Eden. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. There's the voicemail at 206-339-6580. And you can go to the forums at thecomicforums.com. To see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter. Hellsfire is my name. And remember, for the coward, there is no life. For the hero, there is no death.
And like that,